Let's look at Job this morning, chapter 1. Job, chapter 1. Heaven is so real. God is not a figment of our imagination. We are a figment of His imagination. He thought us up. We didn't think Him up. And everywhere we look, we see God. And the only way that you can't see God everywhere you look is to close your eyes to reality. And even in the bad things of life, we see the story of the gospel. And we see how Jesus warned us that in this life we would have tribulation. And for the Christian, the victory is not that we get exempted from bad things. The victory is that unlike the lost, we are not subject to the defeat of bad things. We are overcomers. We run over the bad things. We endure the bad things. And by the grace of God, we serve Him in the midst of the bad things. We have joy when others have despair. While others weep and we weep with them, we weep not in despair as the lost do, those with no hope. You see, everything's different for us. God doesn't have to remove our fleshly hardships because this is not our home. And we are working and laboring for rewards in the home that's coming. And so here in Job, we see a man that went through some things. And I'll try to make this succinct and just get to the message this morning. And in verse 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household. So this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. And all of this is the equivalent of 3 Mercedes-Benz and a $2 million house and a $2 million IRA and a retirement home in the Bahamas. That's the equivalent of what this man had. And so no doubt one of the wealthiest men of his day. In verse 4, and his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. Kind of like Mama Roxy's family. Call the sisters to come and eat and drink with them. The tea and the drink of the tea and stuff like that. Big clans. I tell you, I grew up in a big clan, and I'm part of that clan, part of 2 or 3 clans, actually, on both sides. And I got a clan of my own now, and I just got thinking one day about how the church is a place of clans. Some clans are bigger than others. And we've got people in the church long enough now that their children are having children, and they're all in the church. So we've got segments of the church that are made up of families. Some families are 2 pews, and some families are 4 pews, and some families are 3 pews, and some families are 1 pew. But whether you're 1 pew or a 4 pew family, there's a pew for you. And I got that out without messing it up. The wedding yesterday, they wore purple. And for the first time in many years, I botched a line in my wedding service. The line is, if any man can show just cause, why they may not lawfully be joined together, let him now speak forever, hold his peace. Well, you know, that part that says, let's see, if any man can show just cause, why they may not lawfully be joined together, that's a lot to say right there, that little phrase. And I usually get through it. But there was so much purple in that wedding yesterday that when I got to that part, it was kind of like, and if any man should go, purple, if just cause, why a man should. And I'm kidding about the purple, it was a beautiful wedding. Y'all know I tease about purple. I have reasons for that, but don't let that affect you. If you like purple, go right ahead. But just don't ask me to go with you. But anyway, in verse 5 it says, and it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them. Now catch this. This is excellent. That Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. And this did Job continually. He went out every morning and prayed for and sacrificed for his children. That's significant in the remainder of this story. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also among them. The sons of God, I believe, is talking about the fallen angels that present themselves before God and the good angels that God has here on earth. I think they present themselves before God, and the devil, Lucifer, was amongst them this day. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" And then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro from in the earth." Now that tells us that, as we, I think, have scientific evidence to verify that hell is located in the earth. Right. It is. Right. I ain't going to get into all that, but I'm telling you it is. Right. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." Now, listen to what Satan asked of the Lord. First of all, he said, there is a hedge about him. He said, if you have protected him, I can't get to him. Yeah. But if you, he said, if you will touch his substance. In other words, the devil said, if you will let evil come upon him, if you will just put a gap in the hedge, if you will just let down some of the hedge, and then if you will touch him. So what did the Lord say to this? And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power." Now, this gives us a tremendous amount of insight. The Lord, the devil, he can't do anything without God's permission. This is why he presented himself to God. And so we need to take note of this. Amen. This is critical to us, yes, to all people. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And so now, after this, with permission, with the hedge down, the devil caused a great wind to come where the family was all eating together. And it caused the house to fall upon them, and all of his children and his daughters and in-laws were killed. And then his caravan of servants with all of his livestock were attacked by thieves and killed. Only one servant was able, and all of his stuff was stolen. And one servant was able to come back that the devil did not kill, and came back and told Job all that happened. And Job sat in ashes. He rent his clothes, and he sat in ashes and wept and grieved his children, grieved the loss of his riches, grieved for his servants. But the Bible says he did not curse God. He said, "The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away." There's a few things this morning. And if you know the rest of that story, you know that the next step was that when he didn't curse God, the devil went back to the Lord and said, "Hey, if you let me, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, anybody would give anything for their flesh. If you let me touch his flesh, he will curse you." And so the Lord gave permission. He dropped the rest of the hedge. He said, "You can do anything to him, you can't take his life." And so Satan cast a great sickness upon Job. He was broke out with sores all over his body. And he sat in the dung heap and rubbed the dung on the sores and scraped himself with broken pieces of pottery, scraping the agony, the pain that he was going through. And even his own wife said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" And his friends came and they said, "Job, where have you sinned? No one would go through such judgment unless they had sinned. You must have sinned." But Job hadn't sinned. And the Lord used Job's life to show Satan and to show the world and to show preachers like me that God's grace is sufficient. And no matter what happens in our life, we don't have to curse him. And the Bible says this, that when Job, when God turned his captivity and God healed Job, but he did not heal Job until he prayed for his friends.
There you are. Man.
In other words, God didn't want Job to have any bitterness in his heart toward his friends who had accused him of something wrong when he was innocent.
There you are.
And God said, you can't even have the sin of bitterness because bitterness will destroy your life.
God.
And boy, bitterness does destroy our life. And so Job was not going to be able to pray for his friends until he forgave his friends for the harsh things they had said to him. So Job prayed for his friends, and then God healed Job. And his latter end was greater than his first in livestock and children. But there are some great things in this story. I want to talk to you about the hedge this morning. The devil is still doing his business. The devil is still presenting himself. In Revelation 12:10, it says that he is the accuser, and he is before God day and night, accusing the brethren. Right now, the devil is accusing me. He has accused me before God. He has seen my iniquities. He has seen my shortcomings. He has seen my ignorance. He's accusing me of anything he accused me of. And you know, I'm not so worried about the accusations because of the blood of Christ and my advocate in heaven. But one thing that is of great concern to me is that I know without the hedge of God that Satan would destroy me. There are some powers that you cannot overcome in your flesh. You in this earthly existence do not have the power to fight Satan.
Right.
You do not have the power to ward off the angel of death. You do not have the power to defeat unclean spirits. The only reason that you're here this morning, and the only reason that I'm preaching this morning, is not because we have disciplined ourselves, not because we are faithful, albeit we may strive to do those things and achieve some of those things in some areas of our life, but that's not why we were able to get up and come here this morning. That's not how we were able to get saved. There's only one reason that I'm preaching this morning in my flesh. I'm not preaching in the flesh, but I had to be in the flesh to be here to preach.
Yeah.
There's only one reason I'm here. Because God has protected me.
Right.
From powers that are greater than me. If the Lord dropped the hedge around me, I would be dead. And if I weren't dead, I'd be attacked. Now, every once in a while, the Lord lets a little gap. You see, if you study the hedge in the Bible, hedges that they grew around vineyards was like fences we put up. They didn't have chain link fences. They didn't have electric fences. And by the way, I hope you don't have electric fences. I've been knocked down by electric fences. I hate electric fences. I hate getting shocked. Did you ever pull the cord on a riding lawnmower and accidentally touch the spark plug? I want to tell you right now, you'll have a spasm. I mean, a big spasm. At least I did. It hurts. Not only does it hurt, it just feels weird. But the hedge is all they had in those days. And they had these thorny hedges, and they were full of thorns, and they were thick, and they would grow 6-8 feet tall. And this is what they would put around their property or put around their vineyards to protect thieves from coming in, because people didn't have chainsaws in those days, or they didn't have hedge trimmers in those days. They didn't have the big old clippers, and so they couldn't really cut their way in very well. They had machetes and that kind of stuff, but that's a lot of work, and they get caught. It takes so long to get through the hedge. They get all cut up and thorns, and so it was just a very thing of security to keep people out of their property, out of their vineyards. And so God puts this kind of hedge around us. And without this hedge, we're finished. Without this hedge, we can't grow in the Lord. We can't grow the grapes. We can't grow the plant. We can't bear fruit. Without protection, we're not free to grow. Without protection, we can't pray. We won't be there to pray. I mean, listen, the angel of death is seeking you every day. Satan is asking every day for permission to touch you. To touch your life. And when he touches your life, he kills something. Or he lays some terrible temptation before you. Or, there have been times when I should have been dead in my life. But God protected me. He put a limitation on the devil. The devil's tried to kill me several times. Little boy, I grabbed a cord laying down on the grass that fell off a telephone pole. And I was looking at that cord and touched the end of it. The next thing I remember, I was waking up. I don't know how long I was there. My lips were blue. I was tingling all over. Why didn't it electrocute me? Because the Lord told the devil, no, you can't kill him. No, he's not going to die like that. I was riding in a car with my cousin one night. When I was just a boy. I used to play in that rock band and it was a wicked environment. I was just a 14, 15-year-old boy. But he was older. He drove. And he had been drinking. And he was drinking too much. And we went, if you know those curvy roads between here and Taylorsville, he was doing about 75 and 80 miles an hour around those curves. And I saw the speed odometer. My brother and I were begging him to slow down. I don't know how he didn't wreck. He wrecked three times after that and killed a man in one of the wrecks. And almost got killed himself. But why didn't I die that night? How'd that car stay on the road that night? Because God protected me. There have been so many times in my life when I could have, there's been opportunities that I was weak and could have destroyed my testimony as a pastor. God, angry about things or just making terrible decisions or even tempted with some sinful thing. Why didn't I fall? Because of the hedge. Because of the limitations that God puts on the devil. Because God protected me. That's the only reason you're here this morning. What makes up the hedge that protects us? They're the angels. The angels protect us. The unclean spirits are trying to litter our path with obstacles and temptations. There's a spiritual realm around us. We don't know how many angels there are. We don't have any angels came out of heaven, were cast out of there with Lucifer. I can tell you there's probably more angels than our human beings alive on earth today. There might be four or five angels per every human. I don't know, but I can tell you this. That if it wasn't for the angels, the Lord told about children, he said, their angels doth behold the face of God. Right. Little children are protected by angels. If it weren't for the angels, when Elijah came out of his home and his servant, Gehazi said, the king's army was there to get them. And he said, what are we going to do? There's a whole army out here to get you. How are we going to fare? And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, open his eyes. And when God opened the eyes of his servant, he looked around and all around the hills were chariots of fire, the angels. And then the servant was courageous and said, I know how we're going to fare because they think they have us surrounded and they're surrounded. It's kind of like a stupid commercial where that guy's bringing his daughter down the aisle and he looks at the guy getting married. He says, I'm watching you. And that little baby says, I'm watching you. Watch him. And so, the king's men said, I'm watching you. And the Lord opened the eyes of the servant and the angel said, well, we're watching you. Watch him. And thank God for the angels. Man. When Stacy was 2 years old and the doctor told us in the emergency room down here that she wouldn't live with meningitis. And one of my deacons came down to the church, came down to the hospital, and I told the doctor when he said that Vicky would not leave her side and had much grace. I told the doctor, I said, I'm not very good at this, but where's the chapel? And the deacon and I went up to the chapel and got on our face before God. It was almost like I could see the angel of death come to get my daughter, my only daughter at that time. But thank God for the angels. Thank God that the angel of healing was sent and warded off and fought off the angel of death. And God told Satan, no, not now. And she almost died again at 3 or 4 years old. Almost got swept away by a riptide in the ocean. We were ignorantly, never been to that part of the ocean. Never been to the ocean hardly, and was swimming. And we didn't know anything about riptides. And a wave came all the way into the bank and grabbed her and sucked her out. And right there was her Uncle Ronnie who was with us. And he took 3 or 4 giant strides and grabbed her at the last second. But Satan had asked permission to take her again. And again, God said, no, not this time. And now, 2 beautiful children later, and a husband wanting to serve the Lord, God protected her. It was His protection. Is why she lived. And that's all. It was the hedge. And that's all any of us have. But there's more to this story than the hedge. You see, in Ezekiel 22:30, God said this, I looked for a man to stand in the gap and make up the hedge, yes, so that I will not judge the nation of Israel, but I found none. Now what's that all about? Here's the hedge that God put around the nation of Israel, but there's a gap. And I'm going to go back to Job for just a minute. God, our responsibility, when God's protecting us, then we are to protect others.
Right.
And so Job got up every morning and prayed for his family.
Yeah.
He protected everything that was his.
Right,
and he stood in the gap for his family. God put in the hedge, but there was a place. Not only do angels make up the hedge, but we make up the hedge.
Right.
There's a place for us in the hedge.
Gotcha.
And this is why we're to stand in that gap with all the armor of the Lord. The shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit and the helmet of righteousness and the breastplate of righteousness, the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Why are we dressed in such attire? Because there's a place in the hedge where we must stand as we're being protected. All those under our authority, all those around us are being protected by us as well as by the Lord. We make up part of that hedge. The Scriptures make up the hedge. God's Word is sharper than any two-edged sword. Dividing both asunder the bone and marrow. The Scriptures make up the hedge. And the commandments of the Scriptures is a wall of protection that wards off the consequences of sin. And if you don't stay in the gap, and you step out of the hedge, you step out of the gap, then the enemy will come and take you. And sin will overcome you. The only safety that you have is a tower of the Lord. That the Bible says the Lord's name is a strong tower. Those that run in find safety.
Amen.
It's all about being protected. Listen, if you want to be protected, you must put on the breastplate. You must put on the armor. You must know the Word of God. You must stand in the gap. You must be faithful. How many have stepped out of the gap and been unfaithful? Now, Job did not step out of the gap, but the Lord dropped the hedge. And without the hedge, what happened to his children? They all died. Don't you think they wanted to live? You say, boy, what a test. Job lived. He was blessed. What about his 10 children? God allowed the devil to kill them. You say, oh, what a hard-hearted God. What were the consequences of their dying? They went to heaven. Is that hard-hearted? How do you threaten somebody with heaven? Come on. He's not hard-hearted. He does us a favor when he takes us to heaven. But if you're not saved, you'll go to hell. Now listen to me this morning. I have seen person after person step out of the gap. When the hardship comes, they forget about the hedge. They don't make up the gap. They don't stand in the gap. And then what does God do? God through Lucifer, judges wickedness and judges everybody associated with those people. When a pastor steps out of the gap and sins against the Lord, people suffer in the congregation because he steps out of the gap and some of the enemy gets in. And then people, the church changes when the enemy gets in. If a pastor falls to sin or makes godless decisions or selfish decisions, and he ceases to be a servant, and he ceases to have a servant's heart, then people suffer. People fall because the enemy gets in. The only way for a pastor to quit pastoring is to go to heaven, and then God will have somebody right there in the gap for him.
That's it.
Or if God moves him, he's got somebody to put in the gap for the church, that God may not judge the church. The family's the same way. How many fathers have left their children defenseless? How many fathers have left their wives and their children to the bidding of the devil?
Right.
And the enemy rushes in and starts to destroy the lives of his family because he's godless and wicked. How many husbands and children have been hurt by a godless mother who will not stand in the gap of the hedge where she belongs? Everybody thinks that their decisions are just about their own life. There's no decision you make about your own life.
That's right.
Your decision is about everybody's life associated with you.
Right.
And if you don't stand in the gap, people die. Yeah. And the enemy comes in. We've got to make up the hedge. God puts the hedge there. But he says there's a gap for you. There's a place for you. That's why I'm training. That's why I'm discipling you. That's why the Holy Spirit is building your life. And if you look to the world for everything you do, and you think like the world, and you act like the world, you desire the world, and the scriptures are not your direction, and his ways are not our ways. It's not the hedge that has a problem that God put there. It's the gap. And so we look at Job this morning, and we see the hedge. How many of you this morning have already thought about times when you could have been dead? But God put up a hedge.
That's right.
How many of you have thought about all the opportunities you've had to be godless, but God put up the hedge?
You got it.
How many of you have loved ones that came under great danger, but God put up the hedge?
That's it.
And how many of you have seen others, and maybe yourself, step out of the gap, and people got hurt? And they got hurt badly. Let's bow together for prayer. Dear Father, as we have a song of invitation, we open up the altar. Lord, if for no other reason, people should come and thank you for the hedge. And pray, Father, that you don't drop the hedge on them and their families, their responsibilities, their jobs, their health. Oh God, we need to beg you not to drop the hedge. We need to plead with you not to drop the hedge. We can't fight those forces. We would be overrun. And Lord, maybe some need to come because where they stand in the gap in that hedge, they're not fulfilling their responsibilities. And people are suffering around them because they have not put on the armor. They've not been faithful to you. They've been worldly and carnal and sinful.